Your horse racing preview is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.
Let's say Irish Examiner racing correspondent Tommy Lyons joins us on the line. And Tommy, it's a very good afternoon to you.
Hi, Patrick.
Hope you're keeping well on this Friday afternoon. Tommy, busy weekend of racing to look forward to. We'll get stuck into it straight away. And we've got three Irish meetings to look at, and we'll have a brief look at Ascot as well, because it's Champions Weekend over there. But firstly, let's start at Leopardstown tomorrow. It's a 25 past one start for the A-race card down for decision. We're going to kick off with the 305. That's the tote supporting racing since 1930 handicap over a mile. €26,000 in the prize pot. Eight good to post.
Yeah, it's a nice one to start off with, Patrick. Good competitive handicap. Actually, a quite fancy horse here, a horse of John Gagan, Master of Brensay. I thought the horse has always been on my radar. I had a little bit of luck with him in his younger days, catching him at big prices. And the reason for that, is because John Gagan would be a small enough trainer, you know, and a lot of people may not latch onto him, or if they see his name beside a race, a horse they might often kind of give it less attention than it deserves. But two runs ago, it ran a superb race, beat Cyrus Dallin, and beat him impressively. And then the last day, in a hotter race, was very unlucky. It was £7 higher, didn't get any run at all, finished fifth, still on the bridle as far as I was concerned as it crossed the line. I thought there's plenty more to come from. It's only a five-year-old. It's quite a big horse. I don't see any reason why it couldn't still be improving. And I actually think it's one of the best of the day tomorrow, Master Lebrunce. But the danger is probably Quizzy, because he's stepping back after having no realistic chance the last day in what was a hot race. This is a step back in class, and I thought Critical might go well, but Master Lebrunce for me is actually it'll be my next best in tomorrow's paper.
Okay, the 340, that's the Kilvoden Stakes over 7 furlongs. 2-year-olds, Group 3 is the status, and 5 have been declared here.
Geometrical was probably the one that was most interesting. Jim Bulger's horse. It's kind of a consistent horse at a high level. Rated about 103. I think it has a pound maybe to find Iberia, but they have his past history, these two, and Geometrical finished in front of Iberia. I think it'll be the same tomorrow. It's quite a tricky card. There's some interesting races, not least that one. But for me, Geometrical probably deserves this. He has been running particularly well. Jim Bulger had a little bit of a lull in the middle of the season. Horses are running quite well at the moment. I thought Geometric would be really, really hard to beat.
Okay, let's go to the penultimate race. The card, the 10 furlong Triago Stakes, €45,000 up for grabs with 10 gun posts.
Yes, this is another good race. I suppose it all revolves on how good Mount Everest is now. Kind of hard to assess, to be honest about it. He's a horse that hasn't won a huge amount recently. He has been running in good company. And maybe he'll appreciate this, obviously, this drop back. River Light didn't seem to get home over a mile and a half the last day. He'd probably be better suited to a mile and two. I just don't think he'd be good enough, to be quite honest about it. Bo Pedro is an improving horse with Jim Bulger, but he's stepping up to a mile and two as well, so it's kind of hard to know there. One Cool Pole has been one of the stories of the summer, winning 4 out of his last 5 from Matthew Smith. Rakan, hard to assess. I just thought maybe, look, I don't think it's a race that I'd be betting on, but if I had to fall on one, then it would be Mount Everest. I suppose he has a bit of class, a bit of quality. He is highest rated in the field, and but at the same time, it probably couldn't be a really strong bet.
Okay, anything else on Saturday's card at Leopardstown, Tommy?
The first race is an absolutely superb race. It's a filly's maiden. I'm going to go on a nap here, but even though I know my heart and soul that this is a red hot race, and you could be coming up against anything here. You could be coming up against a classic horse for next year. I know Amber Grace was fancied on first run in Cork. It's Dermot Wells' horse, number one. She ran a cracking race. The form of that race has worked out well. I think New York Girl was behind her. That she won without winning a maiden. She went down to win a Group 3 next time, and fifth place La Mista also won. I think there's a horse maybe back in 7th or 8th that won as well. I like Amma Grace is dangerous, and Aidan O'Brien has an experienced horse in Holy Roman Empress, and also has a newcomer in Moonwalk. They're obviously interesting. Jessica Harrington has been one of the stories of the season, the 2-year-olds that she's produced and the number of winners she got from them. But the one I like is Sindaya, number 12, Michael Halford's filly. She went off favourite, 7-2 favourite in the Nace Maiden at the start of the year, on her debut, sorry, and she pulled really, really hard. She was far too keen throughout the whole race. And you know yourself, Pat, when that happens, normally they don't finish off the race. But she was in midfield most of the way, maybe a little bit further back to midfield. And when they turned to home for home that day, she was still going reasonably well, a little bit keenly. But when the jockey got after her, she actually flew up the hill. Now, she finished fourth, quite well beaten. Never likely to get involved at all. But, I mean, it was an immense effort to be able to finish off the race the way she did after pulling as hard as she did. So I think she could be a serious, serious filly. Sindhia, however you pronounce it. Number 12 there, Michael Halvers horse. That'll be my nap for tomorrow and probably my nap for the weekend.
Yeah, it's definitely one to keep an eye out for. I had it in my notebook actually after that run that day. It was big prices in the morning, 20-1, finished up 7-2 favourite on the day. Definitely one to keep an eye out indeed, and we might touch on that further a little bit later on. Let's move on to Sunday then, Tommy, because there's an 8 race card at Naas, a cracking card of course. It is Birdcatcher Day, and that's where we're going to start our preview of the Sunday card at the Kildare track, where the Birdcatcher Premier Nursery, €50,000 in the price pot, is due off at 220, and 9 horses go to post for the 6 contest.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting race, Pat. It's always a competitive race. I don't think this is probably the best renewal I've ever seen of it. A lot of them look quite exposed now. I suppose by the nature of that, they have to be somewhat exposed in the fact that it is a nursery, is a handicap for 2-year-olds. Mount Fuji is the top horse, raised 97, has given £6 and upwards to all the horses. Probably be able to do it. I see Aidan O'Brien is putting on blinkers for the first time, and Dunnick O'Brien is riding it. Wasn't beaten far the last day in the Round Tower Stakes, even though it didn't. It travelled okay up the outside at one stage and then kind of faded back and then kind of ran on again. It doesn't convince me entirely that it's going to make it a group company in time, but I still think there are possibilities off Mark in 97. The other one that interests me is Flaming Moon, Matthew Smith's horse. It was a good run the last day, not only beat a newcomer of Johnny Murphy's called So Suave, who went into the notebook the last day, but I think Flaming Moon kind of had a race with it with Joseph's horse, Grey Horse, that day. And I think maybe Flaming Moon was a bit more superior than the results looked. He's interesting to me, but I think Mount Fuji has that touch of class. And as I said to you, I don't think it's a red hot renewal of the Birdcatcher. So for me, Mount Fuji top weight. Normally, what they say in nurseries is a go to the top weight. And I think they're right here. It has that touch of class, Mount Fuji. And of course, Aidan O'Brien applying blinkers first time. That's a key to me, or significant, certainly.
Okay, let's go to the next race. This is the Foreign Equine Auction Race Final. There's been a various number of qualifiers throughout the summer, and they've qualified for this final. 7 furlongs the trip. We've got a maximum field of 16 for this €120,000 pot, due off at 255.
Yeah, one trainer who's done very well, surprisingly well, with his 2-year-olds this year, because he's not really renowned for his 2-year-olds, although in recent seasons the flat horses have been going very, very well. That's Noel Mead, and he has plenty of runners here. He has Luke Short and Lafayette, and he has Crassus and First Thing. I thought Crassus was possibly the most interesting. He ran a night-catching race in Galway, finished 4th behind the horse of Aidan O'Brien's. It ran quite well and actually seemed to stay on reasonably well in the closing days. But the last day, it travelled like an absolute certainty down to about the 2 mark, still in front of furlong out, but was well beaten in 3rd at the line. Now, that was over a mile and a half of furlong, or a mile the last day, a mile and a half of furlong of Galway. It's back to 7 furlongs tomorrow. I think that will suit. I think maybe the mile and a half of furlong just on the soft ground. That was a bit too far, and the same the last day. The ground was very testing. It'll be quite testing again on Sunday. It'll be soft. But I just thought Crassus looked like a horse that maybe, you know, with the strength of 2-year-olds that Normie's had this year, he has a good idea where he's going with them. And I thought maybe Crassus was interesting. First Thing was disappointing the last day. He's another one of Normie's. He's much better than that. It'll be interesting to see if the market speaks favourably for him. But for me, I thought Crassus was the one to beat. I think he'd probably be a price. He might even be a nice little each way bet. The dropping trip, as I say, to 7 furlongs is really suits. Brunel is stepping up in trip. He's bound to be towards the head of the market. Gerard Lyons is horse 2 from 3. The last day he came up the inside in Dundalk and won very handsomely. He's stepping up the 7 furlongs for the first time. Will he get it? Probably. Possibly. Not absolutely stone cold certain that he will. He should do. Without maybe being strong at the trip, but I just like Crassus. I think it'll be an each way price and an each way bet.
Okay, let's move on to the Garnet Stakes. This is for 3-year-old and upward fillies who are EBF eligible. A mile is going to be the trip for the 3:30 contest, which sees 14 going to stalls.
Yeah, I suppose favourite probably be Tatias. She's been running in good form. Jessica Harrington, filly there, number 4, a strong runner. Not certain that the drop back to a mile is exactly right for it. Maybe it is, because maybe a stronger run race will actually quite suit it. Doesn't tend to win a lot of races, and that's the only reason I'm kind of inclined to overlook it. There's a British raider, Tom Dascombe, has Iconic Choice. That's raised 102 On official figures, it's the second highest races in the race, and I suppose it has a bit of a chance. Frosty is very hard to assess. The one on debut last year in Dundalk for Aidan O'Brien has since showed a bit of promise and then not show or kind of gone backwards, and it's hard, really hard to assess. You'd always think that maybe Frosty would be dangerous, but I don't think it's one I could recommend. The one I like is Silk Forest. Probably has a good bit to find it, best part of a stone, I suppose, to find on form. It's only had three runs for Paddy Toomey, and the last day out it won very, very well. Now Paddy Toomey tends to give them a nice break between the races, so it's 2 months since Silk Forest ran, had a wide draw that day, had to do a bit of work to get over, but actually won very, very handsomely in the end. It's obviously had something like this in mind for a while. I've been watching out for it to come out again. I liked it that day, and I think it will be a price on Sunday, and it's probably worth a small bet. That's a competitive race. You know, it lacks the experience of some of the horses in it, but I just think that it's Silk Forest could in time maybe improve past all of them, and it's worth taking a chance. It has a decent draw as well in three, so I think it can turn reasonably close, and you know, kind of track the pace maybe. She looked quite strong the last day, and I think she'll take a bit of beating.
Okay, the next race again, we're going to go with the three-year-old and fillies upwards category, because the Bluebell Stakes is over a mile and a half this time. 4 o'clock contest is due off, and with 12 going to post.
Again, on ratings, Aidan O'Brien is the one that's likely to head the market. Simply Beautiful has been great form, but just doesn't win enough races for my liking. Second, fifth, sixth, second, third in his last six runs. You know, model consistency, at a decent level. Paddy Toomey has an interesting one in Love is the Higher Law, unbeaten in two runs. It never shows enough that you think that, oh God, that's a really smashing sort, but it's actually, you know, it's just doing enough. So that's the type of one, if you're a trainer, you like, because it can keep improving. But I like Camphor. I thought Camphor was a small bit unlucky in Galway the last day. Things just didn't go exactly right. Finished second behind Diamond Hill. We love the conditions, Camphor. Jesse Harrington's stable, as I said earlier, they've just been in brilliant form all season, in fairness. And I think Camphor is a really solid bet, an each-way bet. I think it'll be an each-way price and an each-way bet.
The final race of the card looks eye-catching, Tom. That's the €25,000 Inns of Court handicap, 10 furlongs to trip, with 11 going to post.
Yeah, the one that interests me most there is Caravan, Ger Lyons, Colin Keane. Ground conditions should be ideal. Finished runner-up the last day, and that was his first run. They were finished runner-up to Bo Pedro, as we mentioned earlier, running one of the classier races. I think you know, that was off for maybe 4 months, I think a little over 4 months, maybe the Caravan. That was a cracking effort in the circumstances. Stepping up to a mile and two, it has won over a mile and two, I think, around Chelmsford. That doesn't tell me for certain that it really wants the trip, but it has finished close up in Newbury over a mile and three, so the trip shouldn't be too much of an issue. I think, you know, it's been probably had this in mind. Ger Lyons would have mapped it out, leaving it off for the middle of the season, and I think the Caravan will take a fair bit of beating. It's probably a bet, actually, to be honest about it, and I don't know what price it'll be. We haven't got a tissue at the moment, but there's not a great deal of depth in the race. Ger Lyons has another one in Giga White, who is a capable sort, but you can be sure that Colin Keane will be on the right one now. Particularly with the jockey title in the balance himself, and Donegal Ryan are going to have a great battle all the way to the end. So I think Caravan is probably a bet as well in the last race. It's actually, even though it's tricky racing for the weekend, tomorrow or Sunday's cards and make couple of tomorrow and Sunday's cards and mates aren't bad for punting purposes.
Okay, anything else on Sunday to keep an eye for in that context?
Difficult. Hong Kong, the first race, probably. I don't know what the story is here. They seem to rate Hong Kong quite highly. But I think the horse has been a little bit unlucky. He's one of these horses that when it goes and wins a big race next year at a price, we'll all be wondering how that happened. Then we'll figure out that, look, they had to keep running it because it was fit and ready to go, but the ground has been against it probably most of the end of the campaign since it started. I thought Love Locket was a bit unlucky. Alley, Alley, Alley would finish in front of Love Locket, both on debut. Love Locket has run once since, but the ground was way too heavy. Again, conditions could be against Love Locket on Sunday. But I thought between the two of them in the second race, but I'd favour Love Locker. I think it looks a smart sort on debut when it was unlucky. And I can forget about the last one. I think Love Locker is probably going to turn into a smart filly, so I think she'll take a bit of beating.
Okay, that's the action at Naas. That's the flat action for the weekend. Let's go over hurdles and fences then on Sunday, because there's a meeting at the Cork Racecourse in Mallow. Seven races done for decision. Due off at 2:05. And Tom, before we go into the card, it was announced in the last week that Cork are going to be the first track in Ireland to use new hurdles called padded hurdles. They're an all fix for one.
Yeah, like I hope it's just a seamless thing. You know, we talk about the easy fix hurdles and the old style hurdles that some horses prefer, some and whatever. But the padded hurdles are just a good initiative. I mean, it's for the safety of the horses, safety for the jockeys too. Because unfortunately, they can at times land on them. But for the whole good of the game, I think that's the way a lot of what sport is going at the moment, is ensuring the safety. And of course, we have there's an onus on all industries that use animals as part of the sport to do the best they can by them. So I mean, this anything goes in that direction is great, and fair play to Cork. I think actually, you know, Cork deserves quite a bit of credit. I know it's local and it kind of sounds like a bit contrived to say it, but I've actually been impressed with Cork this year in that they've been able to attract people in quite a good crowds into the race meeting, certainly more than I've seen in the last number of years. And it's just nice to kind of to acknowledge it for the fact that the effort that's being made by all the management team in Cork get people in. It seems to be working, and any time you can get a crowd pad, as you know, increases the buzz. It might increase your business, but certainly from my point of view, increases the buzz and thinks that maybe we might have a future yet.
Okay, let's kick off then with the second race over those over the padded hurdles, I should say. It's a novice hurdle over 3 miles. An interesting race with only 5 runners.
Yeah, very interesting race. I think Padilla was probably slightly disappointed the last day, and you'd imagine that Paul Towner would have had the choice, and he's gone with Zola. Zola was impressive, albeit in what was probably an ordinary race in Listowel and very testing ground. Don't know where or what she's capable of. You know, she won that far. Maybe she is just on a real upward curve. Glamorgan Duke is a horse that was well backed again the last day, and he was well backed a couple of times last year. I suspect that Gilligan thinks that Glamorgan Duke is well up to winning a decent race. He's a huge horse. Maybe it's going to be over fences, I think, maybe before we see the best of him. The Battle of Midway. I like that performance in Galway the last day where it beat Datsy. And Datsy, I would suggest, is a fairly smart horse. Maybe the ground was against Datsy the last day. It's a horse of Gordon Elliott's that won a bumper last year. But I think that was a nice performance by Battling Midway. And it wasn't unbacked that day, Patrick. No, it is giving away a nice bit of weight to All Bar. Think positive. But I just think it's a horse that might step up again for get going 3 miles, which is going on Sunday. Now, it can take a fair bit of getting. I think if you can remember this race for the last few years, it takes a fair bit of getting this 3 miles. But I think it might bring out the best in Battle of Midway. Not really, I wouldn't say it was a really strong bet, but to me, it's the most likely winner.
Okay, the 4:15, this is a 2.5 mile beginner's chase, Tommy. 11 go to post, but there's a couple of handy hurdlers here from last season.
Yeah, there are. It's difficult race because there are a lot of them you don't know much about. Robert Tyner has one there, Gold Sun, and there's a couple of Henry de Bromhead has one first time out for him. It really, really difficult race. I suppose if you're going to go in the hurdling form national, you'll probably go with Dream Conti, maybe Salty Boy. I like Dream Conti as a horse. I don't think he really fulfilled his potential last year over hurdles. He's no Mead Jigginstown horse. You'd imagine that he's going to be. He certainly has a bit of scope about him, and he's going to make a better chaser maybe. But I don't know what the ground is like. If we were to take the reading on the Racing Post, literally it says yielding at the moment. If it was yielding ground, I'd be reasonably strong in Dream Conti, albeit there are a couple of unknowns, as I said, Henry's horse and Robert Tyner's horse. But Salty Boy is also interesting. It just depends on the ground. If it got too soft, I'd leave Dream Conti alone. If it doesn't, I'd back it.
Okay, and the following race, Tommy, this is the big race on the card, the Co-op Superstores.ie Handicap Chase Grade B contest over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and we've got a very competitive field of 11 here.
That's pretty competitive field altogether. I mean, I suppose you could say that even though it has to carry second top weight, Articulum, 146 races, it was third in an article. Yes, it was well beaten, but it's still a cracking run and it's still Grade 1 company. Articulum for Terence O'Brien, it's a real smart horse. That might be the one to beat, but it is giving lumps away to weight. The likes of Lake Milan, Stable Companion, Terence O'Brien is carrying 10-7. Conor McNamara is taking £7 off, so it's only 10 stone. She tends to do well in handicaps off lightweights, whether it be over fences or over hurdles. I thought Lake Milan might go well. And of course, John Joe Walsh's horse down the bottom has 9 stone 10, and then Adam Short takes off 3 pounds and 9 stone 7 to carry. When you think that Articulum will be giving away more than 2 stone to the likes of Bally Eagle Hero, who did win a decent handicap hurdle in Galway a couple of seasons ago, I think that might be a tough enough test. Articulum has the class, but I just think that Bally Eagle Hero, I think Connections thought they're stepping up to 2.5 miles the last day might help, but I actually think they're looking at that race the last day. Dropping back to 2 mile 1 here would be no harm at all. Just that it gets in so low in the weights, jumps quite well as it did the last day in Tipperary, and just the weight advantage, I think I like Bally Egan Hero.
Okay, Tommy, is there anything else on Sunday like?
Very interesting bumper, but I don't know what to make of Celebridge, maybe from the Little Yank. The Little Yank is well named because he is a small little horse, but he has got loads of ability for John Ryan. I went to Celebridge, I just thought it might be more of a National Hunt type. The other one, obviously the interesting one in the 340, the top weight, that's the Matchbook Betting Exchange Handicap Hurdle, top weight linger. It ran actually the other day, and it wasn't shamed in the Cesaro, which it was well beaten, but it certainly wasn't shamed. It finished 6th of 18, beating 15 lengths behind Royal Illusion. Prior to that, it had finished 2nd, again on the flat, and also Cesaro to Dynard Rose. It fell over fences in a race won by Indian Music. I'm not sure that they'll go back chasing for a while yet. It just doesn't seem to have taken to it at all. But back over hurdles, it's gone up to 120 from a mark of 109 or 108, I think, when I won in Galway. I still think there's probably a little bit of scope in that. There's probably another 10 or 12 pounds, maybe a stone in it for Linger. So the fact that it's carrying top weight doesn't worry me. Oakley Brown is an interesting jockey. 7 pound claimer for Joseph O'Brien. He has ridden. He has caught the eye a little bit, and I suspect that Joseph wouldn't be wasting his time with a young jockey like this. He must think that there's plenty of ability here. And Oakley Brown on Linger, I think that'll win the 340.
Okay, perfect stuff, Tommy. I know just going through the English racing over the weekend, there's superb racing at Ascot. You've got the Champion Sprint kick off the card at Ascot on Saturday afternoon, going into the long distance Cup or Stradivarius. We'll be looking to make it 2 seasons out of 2, doing the Ascot Gold Cup and the long distance Cup double. We've got the Champions Fillies and Mares due off at 2:45. Tarwana, very much an interesting booking here for Dermot Weld, along with Annapurna for John Gosden, who was a very impressive winner there a fortnight ago. In the QE2, a very competitive contest over the straight mile. Magna Grecia goes here for Aidan O'Brien. Of course, we've got a couple of other interesting runners. Imaging, who was beaten in Tipperary a fortnight ago as well. And the Champion Stakes, a very hot race. Again, Magical going in here. But we've also got Japanese runner Deirdre, who won the Nassau Stakes at Goodwood over the summer. Is there anything across the cards that catches your eye, Tom?
Yeah, I think the Champion Stakes is quite an ordinary race, I think, by its own standards. But I like the QE2. It's interesting that Dermot Weld is bringing Imaging over on all known form. You couldn't fancy it. Although, it's funny to say that, because I think it was only half length behind the Revenant in Baden-Baden earlier in the year. I think the Revenant is 11-4 and Imaging is 66-1. You might read something into that if you're a punter, but I like the Revenant. The horse used to be trained by Hugo Palmer. It's gone to France since, I think it's 7 out of 8 in France, 4 from 4, I think, since it was gelded. It seems to particularly love soft ground, and it's going to be very testing in Ascot tomorrow. Now, it's never tried Group 1 company. That's the only concern you might have with the Revenant. At the same time, I don't think this is a red-hot race. Obviously, Magna Grecia won a Guineas, but he hasn't run in a long time, 147 days. King of Comedy looked a little bit of a monkey the last day, last couple of days maybe. He's wearing cheap pieces the first time. Phoenix of Spain has gone backwards since winning an Irish 2000 Guineas. I don't understand what's happened there. I don't think it's red hot. It's competitive enough, but I think 11-4 about the Revenant, I'm willing to take a chance. I think that's quite a decent bet at that price. I'm going to have a go at that tomorrow.
Okay, and just, I suppose, for anyone that is having a bet there tomorrow, do please take note, because any races on the straight track are going beyond the traditional flat course. That's heavy going at the moment. Yeah. And if there's races on the inner track, that's going to be on the round course, they're going to be run on good to soft in places. So just do bear that in mind. Tommy, before I let you go, your best bets of the weekend?
Two best bets of the weekend. I really like the Revenant tomorrow in the QE2, and I like Cyndia the first race tomorrow in Leopardstown. Michael Halper's horse. That'll be my knock of the weekend.
Look, thank you very much indeed, Tommy Lyons. And of course, you can read more of Tommy's thoughts over on Saturday's Irish Examiner. Of course, each and every day, Tommy has his column along with Ruby Walsh on Saturdays as well. Tommy, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, William Patrick.
Your horse racing preview was brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.